It started with, I had, I don't remember if I told you about it or not, it's turned into a nice scar now, but I got a chunk out of my finger on the ceiling fan when I was reaching up to put something away on top of the kind of wardrobe thing in there.
What?
I thought I had more space. Well, I thought I had like plenty of clearance, and I put my hand up to put a box up there,
and
it just like went thunk, thunk, thunk. And so there was that. That was kind of like at the beginning of the month. And then last Friday, I went to see Calexico.
Yeah, how was that?
And Iron and Wine. That was really good. It was a really good show. And then I like walked over to the Wilderness and had a couple of beers, and then was walking back and stepped off the sidewalk and straight down onto the screw that was like about 3 inches long.
Oh my God! Did you need a tetanus shot?
No. So it went through the sole, but not like all the way. It went into my foot just a little bit, and it's already pretty much healed up. But
I didn't get a shot, dude.
I figured I would have felt some ill effects from it by now, but
I don't know.
I think so. I have a pretty tough heel too. Then last night I had, Carly Shorman from Yab Yum?
I don't know her, but yeah.
Okay. And her writing partner, Dale Rasmussen, who they worked on a fiction podcast, like a sci-fi noir kind of thing,
oh, okay.
Like serial sort of deal.
Cool.
So I had them in here last night, talked to them. And then after they were gone, I was like, I'm going to go for a run. And then I just like
biffed it.
Yeah.
Is that what happened to your elbow and your
Yeah,
knee?
It happened to my knee, my elbow, along
your
the
hip?
Side here. Yeah. And then I must have hit over here somewhere because it hurts when I sneeze or take in a really deep breath.
Your ribs?
Yeah. I don't think I broke anything. I think I just bruised something.
Did you roll in the street? Because that's a lot of...
It was all down my left side. Yeah. It was like, boom, I was down. Yeah.
That sucks. I'm sorry. But you're okay. You're okay to get...
So I'm hoping... Yeah. I'm hoping that I don't...
have tetanus.
I don't think I do.
Is it poisoning?
It's lockjaw, yeah. Right? So you're supposed to like feel like...
I guess I don't know.
I've never had it. Obviously, but yeah. But no, now I'm a little concerned. I'm like, is this just... I'm driving down to Tucson on Saturday.
Oh, geez. And be extra cautious.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
The full moon was like last week or 10 days ago.
I think it's a new moon now.
Okay.
Because there's like nothing out there. That's when it's a new moon, right?
Are they?
I don't know. You know what? If it ends up being my time, it's my time. I've led a life.
All right. Well, welcome to Tuesday. That's some dark thinking. If it's my time, it's my time.
Yeah, I mean, what am I going to do about it?
You're right. We don't have much control.
Yeah. I'm not actively seeking out death, but if it happens, what am I going to do about it? I'll be dead.
Yeah, knock on wood. I haven't been injured in a really long time, so I don't want to catch whatever you've got going around. Are there?
There we go.
Levels?
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you want to introduce
talking up
the
into
podcast?
The mic? We should. Yeah, we've talked about. Mic levels way more than I'm comfortable with having on record. Yeah,
okay.
So you're... Yeah, there we go.
There, anyhow, that's fine.
It's Hoot and Review. I'm Jared.
I'm Jenna. This is the show.
What really matters is what you like, not what you are like. Books, records, films, these things matter. Call me shallow. It's the fucking truth.
I don't know what to talk about, by the way.
Well, let's mention at Hoot and Review on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the social medias. Yeah. I got locked out of my work Facebook account, but I don't think it's a bad thing. It just means I don't have a work Facebook account anymore. I don't know.
You had a work Facebook account? How does work have a Facebook account?
Okay, so this, I know, quirky thing. And I don't really want people following me on social media, my people from my work anyway, but some of these people from work I consider friends, so they follow and I'm following them back on Instagram. But I just sort of, I'm like, Facebook, I forgot all about you, so who cares? But my students have a Facebook for the student newspaper.
Oh.
And when we started that, I was an administrator of that Facebook account, and then I could like add other people, the students that actually post on there, because my job as an advisor is not to post on student media, social media. So anyway, I tried to go in and add the new editors, and I discovered that there's no viable way for me to get back into the account. Because Facebook now has these like weird extra levels of security where if you haven't logged in for a while, they want you to like upload an official photo ID.
Wow.
Right? And then they're like, okay, or use like a back, oh, tag some of your friends. But the friends that are attached to that account were not my friends. They're students.
Okay.
And most of them that showed up, it was like, here's five. Send them a message and get them to activate the code. I haven't seen those students in like 6 or 7 years. So if our random Facebook just tries to contact them, they're going to ignore it.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah. So then the third level was like, okay, you don't want to do it that way. What else did I try? Alternate email address, which wasn't on record. Like phone number, which I had
blood
never.
Blood sample and retina scan.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So if you get locked out of your Facebook account, good luck. Because they have all these.
I guess that's good, because then nobody else will use it.
I guess. But an established account, it shouldn't be that many layers. I don't know. So I'm just like,
how long
it
have been?
I don't care. I don't. A semester?
Oh.
Yeah, because that's how my turnover's been.
That doesn't seem like that long.
No. 6 months or maybe seven, eight at the very most. But it's not like it's an inactive page. I'm just, my login hasn't been very active. I don't know. Whatever. Who cares? Thanks a lot, Facebook.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd like to see the numbers on that. I'd like to see which social media are growing the fastest and which ones might be fading away.
I hope Facebook is fading away. I'm not a big fan of Facebook.
Not that I have a personal grudge, but maybe.
It's the one I'm on least. I find Twitter has the most appeal to me because I can just, I think I've said this before, I can just, you know, put random thoughts out there. It's an easy little encapsulation of things. And I like Instagram.
I do too.
To a point, I guess. But it's all not great. If it were all gone, I think it would get a lot more accomplished.
Really? It's a distraction?
Well, because it's a distraction in as much as that it's like part of the job of promoting things now.
Yeah.
So that...
It is. It takes your time.
And so I have an account on Instagram and Twitter. Luckily, Jason manages the What the Fork Instagram, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But, doing some regular posting for each of those accounts is very time consuming.
Yeah. So you're not just cruising. You're not just on there to kill time. Like that's use it.
No. Every once in a while I'll drunk Twitter. I try to keep that to a minimum.
Yeah. Good idea.
I generally find that's the worst time to be on my phone.
Late at night, drinking.
So I do keep that to a minimum.
Well, that's why I deleted the Facebook app years ago, because too many things were annoying me, or I was like, I'm going to post something embarrassing one night, and surely I did. So I was like, this app has to come off my phone. And so now it kind of gives me FOMO, because occasionally somebody will be like, I invited you on Facebook. I'm like, I never checked my Facebook.
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, if that friend really liked me, they would send me a text.
Something. Yeah, they would have your phone number, right?
Anyway. Yeah, Facebook, social media. Mm. You know, since we're talking about online things and apps and streaming services, I'm mad at Hulu because I used to use Hulu all the time to watch movies that I really like, and the one on repeat for like the last 2 years was Ingrid Goes West.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to go log in and watch that movie again for like the 36th time, and I have to pay for it now.
Oh, really?
It's extra.
Wow.
What the hell is that? Is that going to happen to more of the shows and movies that I like?
Even
though
I
have the base account and things that I that used to be there, now you're going to have to pay extra. I don't like that. And if this is a trend, it's going to make me ditch Hulu.
Well, generally speaking, everything, you know, like once all the Disney properties move over to the Disney Plus app.
I was
going
to talk to you about that.
Because
I keep hearing about this.
All Marvel stuff will be there. All the ABC shows, I bet, will end up going over there.
Lots of people are nervous.
The new Star Wars stuff is going to be over there. So
what will happen? I mean, do you expect we'll have a shift to their pay platform, or do you think...
I think what's going to happen is that cable will go away because all of the major media conglomerates are going to have their own streaming apps. And so the...
But not everyone has access to an app or a device to stream it on.
But...
You think eventually everyone will?
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that most people who have cable have some sort of device anyway.
My dad doesn't. He has a tablet, but he doesn't have like any apps that he would use for streaming.
Right, but he could.
Maybe he would. I don't know if the older generation uses all their devices that way.
And I watch most of my... Because I am logged into Hulu and Amazon Prime and Netflix on my TV, so I just go to that section and...
I'm thinking of getting rid of Hulu and Prime and maybe dropping Netflix down to the most basic one where it's just on one screen. But I'm trying to think of what will I be sacrificing? I'll be sacrificing Mrs. Maisel, right?
Yeah. And I just started... I watched a really awesome new show on Prime. Yeah, well, because I have... I got the HBO subscription through Prime as well. So
okay.
I watched John Oliver
too
on that.
Too much for my blood.
Yeah, it's a little much. It's like $17 a month with tax. So that kind of sucks, but I like HBO, so
yeah,
and the fact that I can go back and watch all these things on there, I don't know, maybe once AT&T finally gets rid of John Oliver somehow, then I'll stop subscribing to HBO. Where was I going? So Prime, I watched a show called The Boys.
Okay. Was it like The Girls, but it was about guys?
No. So it's The Boys. I've known about this comic book for a long time. It's kind of like an underground comic book, anti-superhero sort of thing.
Okay.
And it's got... who is it? Elizabeth Shue is in it.
Really? She's still working?
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole idea being that it's like a Marvel thing, right? But the corporation, like the superheroes, it's as though it's this marriage of the studio being present in the same world as the superheroes, and the studio manages the superheroes.
Okay.
So
the
superheroes are supposed to be
another.
Real.
Okay.
Yeah. And the... and they make movies and they, you know, endorse products and all that sort of thing. And they're managed by the multi, you know, the big bad machine. And then there's this group of guys, kind of like, you know, the boys that are these sort of... It starts off like the first episode. One of the main characters is like standing on the sidewalk talking to his girlfriend. They're holding hands. And this superhero comes like blazing through and runs through his girlfriend. He's like left there holding her hands. And that's all that's left of her.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's really dark. And Simon Pegg is in it for a little bit too.
So a lot of incidences happen and it turns them against the superheroes?
Yeah. So basically, there's this kind of like team of people kind of like being... trying to take them down and that sort of
thing.
Like this whole corrupt organization. It's all PR and show, and they're doing some really nasty things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So it's a very anti-superhero sort of thing, but it's an amazingly well-written and acted show. I really, really liked it. Wow. And the first season is only 8 episodes.
Okay.
But
that's on Prime?
That's on
say?
Prime, yeah.
Wait, do I have to pay extra for an add-on? Because I'm not going to do that.
Well, if you have Amazon Prime, then you should be... If you can see Miss Maisel, then you can see...
All right. That's what you want.
Any of their original shows. And then I started watching The Tick also.
Oh.
I just finished the first season of that. And that is
really good.
It's really good.
Just talking yeah, about
it's that. So funny. It's one of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
Really?
It's hysterical.
Because he's kind of an anti-hero too, right?
Well, it's again this whole idea of you know, superheroes are just kind of part of the world, but it's it's again, you know, you can kind of see some similarities actually in the two shows, other than like The Tick is kind of a dark comedy, like just kind of I don't even know how dark it is, other than the fact that, again, one of the main characters, you start off knowing that his dad was crushed by a spaceship,
oh.
you know, like a jet kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the guy who plays The Tick, is hysterical. He's just really off the wall. Great, like British actor too, but you can't tell he's pretty good at being this.
He's doing an American accent.
Yeah, but really, I don't know. It's really good. I like it. And those are also like that first season is only 12 episodes, but those are more like half hour deals, kind of.
The movie that you went to see starring Marc Maron, Sword of Honor,
Sword of Trust,
Sword of Trust.
Yeah.
Okay. It was at Film Bar.
Yeah.
We were going to see it, but then I don't remember, something came up where we got really tired. But I was reading the description, and maybe you explained it to me or maybe not, but I thought the premise sounded really interesting because it's sort of a twist story mm-hmm. about the South.
Yeah. I mean, the idea being that the sword in question is supposed to be like you know, something that proves the South won
the
or
war.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to see it. Cause I don't want, there's a little bit of a twist at the end and I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
And,
don't give it away. To me, from reading the descriptions online, it sounded sort of like a rat race kind of movie where there's a lot of people trying to get the prize.
Sort of. Okay. It's not quite that elaborate. I mean,
is it funny at all?
It is funny.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah. But it's also pretty, serious. It's like one of those.
Maybe I should have messaged you ahead of time and we could watch the trailer.
Yeah. yeah, it's I enjoyed it quite a bit. And Maron is definitely really good in it.
Yeah, that's what you mentioned. Yeah, you said he was a surprisingly good actor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I've kind of known because I had seen him in he was decent in his own show, but it was just him playing him. And then he's been really great in Glow.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was like, okay, so he's developed some chops.
So what I've noticed lately is that he's one of those personalities where there's something about him that kind of generates an interest in people from a varying ages. Like my students, if I mention Marc Maron, my students mm-hmm. who are in their 20s mostly know who I'm talking about. And then older people, because I was chatting with some coworkers and mentioned this movie came out. And I was like, do you know who Marc Maron is? Podcaster? And they're like, oh yeah. I'm like, oh. I don't know why I felt like that was unexpected. Like I thought he was like our guy that we know about.
Yeah. it's because
he's got to have a following if he's had that many. If his podcast has lived so long. Anyway.
I mean, I think it's that, the podcast was so popular. I mean, for a long time, it was, you know, either number one or number two, kind of going back and forth between him and Joe Rogan. Yeah. And then once he had Barack Obama on, you know, that was kind of a big deal.
Now he's legit.
And he'd already been kind of in with the Ira Glass crowd and people who like that kind of thing end up liking Maron stuff. And yeah, so it seems like it has, he's got a wide cross section suddenly. But yeah, I don't know.
A trivia question that we just had over the weekend was about, you just made me think of this because you mentioned the Obamas, the different CIA nicknames for the president and first lady. And we had to, they gave us four and then you had to match them. So, oh God, I'm going to get them all mixed up now. Ronald Reagan and Nancy. It was like Rawhide and Renegade or something. Or no, Renegade must have been Richard Nixon. And then the Obamas, unless I'm getting them mixed up, again, with Richard and Pat Nixon. Whoa, the cat just ran. It was Lancer and Lace. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And then one of them was Searchlight and Starlight. We got them like totally all wrong. We were like, oh, I don't know.
That's pretty funny.
Unless you knew that from reading one of the biographies, I don't.
Yeah. Wouldn't know. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have had any idea.
Trivia.
Yeah.
You know.
I like trivia.
Trivia is random, trivial things.
Which one did you go to?
I go to Spoken Wheel once a month with my trivia team. It's up on Central, north of Bethany Home. But I think we might try some new places. I don't know. I've also done the one at George and Dragon. That's pretty
I've
fun.
I've done that one once. It was quite a few years ago now, I think.
Yeah, that one's been going for a long time. There's one at Boulder's. They have them all over the place, you know. But
I've done the one that Ashley and Amy do at...
oh, the movie one.
At Valley Bar. I've done that a couple of times.
How often did they do that one?
I didn't see it. Going on this last month.
What it's called? It's always film trivia, right?
Trivia Dome. Yeah. They were doing it once a month, but I didn't see anything posted for this month or last month. They were doing it the last Tuesday of every month. So I don't know if they're just on hiatus.
It wasn't Valley Bar, but Crescent. Did we already talk about this? The Leonard Cohen cover of the Crescent trivia.
Yeah.
Tribute night.
I thought we talked about it last time.
Yeah. My bad.
It was really good.
The summer is over, Jared, so all my days just bleed together.
Gotcha.
Because I'm back to work.
What did I go? I'll go to the Sunday one at Crescent Ballroom sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I've been to that one, too. That's a pretty good trivia one.
Yeah.
It helps if you have a host who's animated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that host is pretty good.
Well, we should go sometime.
Yeah.
I'm competitive.
I'm not that competitive.
Not that we always win, but I do like the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading this book right now called Bad Feminist, and it's written by this woman named Roxane Gay.
Yeah.
Have you read it?
I haven't read it, but I know the book. Yeah.
One of the chapters, it's a collection of essays. Mm-hmm. One of the essays is about how she's a competitive Scrabble player. And this essay is very enlightening because, I mean, there's like adult spelling bees, of course, but I never really got into or thought deeply about this world of competitive Scrabble. And I mean, it's just as nerdy as it sounds. And it's also kind of like the world of chess, right? Where you're timing yourself and you have to clock in and record your times. And she moves to a really small rural town and she's a city girl. So she's trying to find new interests. And she gets into competitive Scrabble. And quickly, there's a local guy, a competitor, that she dubs her Scrabble nemesis. And, like, she's describing how he has these enchanting blue eyes, but he always has kind of a grimace. And she's just, you know, always up for the battle. And then, you know, just various personalities that you encounter if you get into this world. And trivia's like that. And actually... karaoke's like that too. It has its own
competitive karaoke.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's a subculture in a similar way.
Okay.
So if you're not,
you let people take it very seriously,
right?
Yeah,
and show up regularly, and you get to see the same regulars.
Yeah, that's
in this circle. Yeah,
No.
I don't know. In a way, I bet they are competitive. Karaoke singers.
I bet.
The first time I ever did karaoke, it was in a proper karaoke box in Nagoya, Japan, which I feel that makes it pretty legit. But I went with a handful of young women from this Women's Culture College and Fashion Institute, where I was an exchange student when I was a teenager. And these women, these young women, get lessons so that they can become better singers, so that when they go to karaoke with their friends, they don't embarrass themselves.
Wow. I
thought that was... fascinating.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah. And they knew all the songs from the whole section of the Carpenters in the songbook. And they could hit all those notes.
Damn.
Which I can't do. I had to sing Green Day. But it was fine. It was 1997. So, touring bands. Mm-hmm. We just missed the Rolling Stones last night.
I didn't miss them.
I know you've said that before. You weren't interested.
There's some of those legacy bands where, like, I'm glad I went and saw McCartney.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was a great show. It was a great time. It was a great performance. But also, I got lucky and I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, you got extremely lucky, I would say.
Yeah, very That's much cool. so. And so that was fun. I'm glad I got to experience that. And if somebody had said, hey, do you want to go to the Rolling Stones? I probably would have said, sure.
For
the experience. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But I don't know.
It was on a Monday night, weird. And social media, at least my accounts, have been really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like as if none of my friends went. Oh, I know at least one of my couple's friends went. I don't know. That's kind of strange.
I saw Jason Woodbury's brief Twitter review of it, that it was less than spectacular.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe I shouldn't kinda feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I don't know. I've heard mixed things about it, but overall, like, I wouldn't, also, I probably wouldn't go pay to see Dylan now either, and Dylan's one of my favorites.
Wow.
It's just, you know, they get to a certain point where they're just, like, they don't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's great that they could still get up there and do their thing, but also, I mean, at some point you'd think that somebody would maybe say, hey, you don't sound so great anymore, why are you tarnishing your legacy or something.
Well, you've seen Dylan before.
No, never seen Dylan.
Okay, that's surprising, because I was gonna say, if you've seen him before and it was great, I could see how you wouldn't want to ruin that. That's the memory.
See, I would have wanted to see him back when he like right around, well, I mean, okay, if we're going to go way back, time machine, like, you know, top five time periods to see Dylan, sure. I would have loved to have seen him during the Rolling Thunder review. But no, I would have wanted to see him, like, late 90s when he had come out with Time Out of Mind.
Okay.
And the whole Soy Bomb thing on the Grammys and all that. And he was, you know, I don't know, beginning to embrace, like, Crypt Keeper Dylan or something. Time Out of Mind is a great album. I think it's one of his best. But... So I would have wanted to see him then, but I don't think I would want to see
him
now.
How old is he? 80?
Something? No.
Not quite?
Was,
my parents' age, 72?
I would say... Yeah, he's probably about 75.
Okay.
Plus? He's got to be 75 plus.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. And I you know, like, I don't think I would want to see Paul Simon now either, because I can't imagine his voice holding up like it did.
I saw him 12 years ago. I'm satisfied with that.
Yeah.
I don't think I need
yeah, even a decade again, ago would have been fine. I would have seen Dylan a decade ago.
Last year, Paul Simon was on SNL one night, and the performance was good. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, how much of this is vocoder, or what's the other one
I don't think he would use that, though.
You don't think so?
No. I know what you're talking about.
Really?
The name's not coming
to me.
You don't
think that's a requirement if you do an SNL performance?
I don't think so.
Really?
I would hope not.
Yeah.
It's Saturday Night Live.
Well.
What do they call it?
Auto-tune.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was okay. Speaking of shows that you can get into for free, and also throwbacks... I won tickets to UB40 off the radio.
Oh, really?
Thursday.
Wow. Red Wine.
Yeah, among other hits.
Other
they're like
covers
almost
of
all
things.
Cover- yeah. Almost all their whole catalog.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to go, though, because working full time again, Thursday is going to be late nights for me.
It's rough to get to, like, go to something.
Yeah. During the week.
Yeah.
I've had it really mess up my whole week. If it's too early in the week, but
I don't know. I end up doing it anyway and just sacrificing sleep.
It depends on how big of a priority it is. I don't know if UB40 is really a priority.
It would not be for me. It would not be.
Yeah, maybe not. But I do love tickets for free. But since we're talking about Bob Dylan, last night, Chris and I kind of got on a streaming tick with Donovan. And
then
we were reading
Metal
a bio.
Yellow.
Yeah. Online, but also that Superman, what's the other part of the name of the song? He has more hits.
Hurdy Gurdy Man?
Yeah, the Hurdy-Gurdy Man. Mm-hmm. They're all on the same album, too. But we were reading a bio online about how much
Sunshine Superman.
Sunshine on my window, that's the one. He and Dylan were friends, and they collaborated, I guess, and traded some stuff, which is cool. Some stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, the 60s, you know, it was like, you know, he was tight with the band, and they would play on each other's stuff all the time.
I mean,
and
all these guys must have toured.
You know, the Birds.
Yeah.
Roger McGuinn, for sure. Yeah. I saw, that had to be last, speaking of things during the week, I went on Tuesday last week because it's $5 Tuesdays at AMC, and I went and saw Blinded by the Light.
Oh, cool.
And it was actually like a really good experience.
It looks cute.
It is. It helps if you like Bruce Springsteen.
All right.
And I do. So yeah, it ended up like affecting me more than I thought it would.
Emotionally?
Cause I remember being kind of like the kid in the movie.
A little bit of an outsider.
Yeah, kind of, you know.
Trying to find something to relate to.
Exactly. So I was thinking, when I got home, I was thinking, okay, so I had started listening to Springsteen when I was like, at the most, 11 years old. And this was like just after we'd moved to Phoenix. It was after, like, I had seen my dad for the last time. And like all these things, and all, you know, already feeling kind of like an outsider kind of thing, out, you know, not fitting in and all of that. And I, that's right at the period where I just, that's where I found his stuff and kind of glommed onto it.
Wow.
Spoke to me. Yeah.
Around the same age as the protagonist?
A little younger, I think.
Okay.
Cause he is finishing up, I guess, what would be high school.
Okay.
If it weren't in England.
Yeah. How's the acting? Because these are people I've never heard of before in the cast.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
They did a good job.
Hmm.
It's kind of like a musical. It is just filled end to end with Springsteen music.
Oh, God. So there's two things you just listed that are going to make me nut.
One of the things that I had thought about is that I've never been in a relationship with someone who liked Springsteen.
Does Deanna?
No.
Does she like musicals?
So I think I'm always of, you know, the idea, and I always try a little bit to introduce somebody to an artist through, especially him, by saying, okay, you just haven't heard the right songs yet. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And most of the times it doesn't.
You know
what your problem is?
Huh? You haven't dated enough 55-year-old women.
There you go. That's the problem. That's
who still lay out by the pool and smoke Virginia Slims. Sorry, I'm being cruel right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that might just be your type.
I'm
just saying.
I do feel like I should have been born like 20 years before I was.
Yeah.
I would have.
Yeah, you would have looked pretty cool in your Converse at those Ramones shows. I don't know.
Who knows? But yeah, it was a good film. I recommend it. People like Springsteen. But it's directed by the person who did like Bend It Like Beckham and what else? I don't know. But so it's got and the idea behind it being that it's in late 80s London suburbs,
okay,
where they had like a huge unemployment issue. It was the height of Thatcherism. It was also the height of like the National Front. And so, you know, anti-immigrant rhetoric and all that sort of thing too, not unlike a lot of things that are going on right now.
Yeah.
So politically it's very relevant, I think, too.
That's good and interesting.
Yep.
Now you got me thinking about election stuff.
Well, I mean, hopefully everybody voted no on 105 and 106 today.
Have you... Oh, yeah, that was today. Have you seen any photos of the British Prime Minister?
Boris Johnson?
He looks like...
Like a joke.
He looks like Donald Trump. What the fuck is up with his hair?
It's... He's... he is. So that was actually the subject of, more than one... John Oliver's is that
he looks like a clone if the clone got botched, and it's
the thing is that he tries to use the kind of clownish appearance to disarm people,
okay,
so that he can
manipulate
them. Exactly. So he's people will be looking at him as a joke while he's doing bad things to the country.
It's just so weird. It's like holding a mirror up to ourselves.
It is.
I'm like, how can you? Yeah. I was listening to him speak. I'm like, oh wow.
Yeah.
How can anyone take this seriously? And then I was like, wait a second. That's.
Okay. I mean, people. It's mirror. a direct result of people being afraid of. Change and a different way of life, and you know
that frustrates me.
It's it is. It's immensely. It's. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I don't know. Hopefully, we'll turn things around. I know we've talked about this before briefly. I don't think, you know, we're not going to fix anything necessarily by putting a Democrat in the White House. Yeah, I mean, it will be not Trump. That will be the thing. But if we vote in somebody like Biden or another like centrist, it's going to be, status quo. Nothing's going to change. You know, at this point, if you look at an aging population and lower birth rates and all that sort of thing, we need some drastically different social programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need things like socialized medicine. We need, I think that we really need the idea of a universal income, you know, that sort of thing. It's just...
It's furthermore more frustrating that it just seems like the same old getting recycled again and again. And the same old messaging. I mean, even with this election, this special election locally, a lot of the rhetoric around light rail. Well, first of all, a lot of the stuff that I saw that was telling people to vote yes 105 and yes 106, it was so misleading. It didn't even mention.
Well, it's incredibly misleading.
Light rail at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like,
it's all talking about fix the roads and
Okay.
And, if you start
Koch brothers.
Well, one down. But
my brain is throbbing. Sorry.
Talking
down,
about
right,
it now. Is pointless because by the time this goes up, well, first
and
of all, we're not a political powerhouse, and it will also.
What you don't think us and our thousands that, of listeners can.
But. No, I mean, if it turns out we didn't succeed in voting that down, I mean, I think that 105 was probably the more important one, but 106 is talking about, annual, like mandatory reevaluation of the pension plans and that sort of thing. Saying that if they're not 90% funded, then they're not.
They're going to go away?
Yeah.
What? That's insane.
Yeah, both of those things are. Because the light rail means more expansion of light rail only means more access to transportation for people who can't afford a car.
Need access.
Yeah.
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 And we've got a huge deficit in that area that really needs to be addressed.
We do. And the thing is that also it only makes sense in the long run from a climate standpoint, you know, to cut reliance on car.
We always accidentally get political. Oops.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
What else is out there that you've seen or heard or read recently?
I'm still reading that REM early years thing. I'm reading that simultaneously with reading this Dean Wareham book, Black Postcards. He's he was in Galaxy 500, which is the series I'm doing on Album Infinitum right now with Ashley Neff Tool.
Yeah.
And then he was also in Luna, if you ever heard them. And
yeah. Weren't you mentioning them a few weeks ago? I forgot how good they were.
Yeah. They're very good. His stuff, he and Britta Phillips, under Dean and Britta, do some pretty cool stuff too.
I am going to pick up the REM book. I really am. I told myself that when you first mentioned it. I had a long summer reading list because I went to this Gender Matters workshop at Harvard. So all of these books are like, I read this book called Testosterone Rex by the same biologist and author who did Delusions of Gender. And it was very good. And I'm reading another collection of essays that's called Gender Outlaws. And it was compiled almost 10 years ago, but it's really cool to me how relevant a lot of the voices are that are coming through in these essays, especially as an educator, because I meet more and more young people who are non-binary identified. So hearing their stories has been really awesome. And then this other book called Bad Feminist that I just mentioned. Oh, and then I read this other book called Men Explain Things to Me, which was also a collection of essays. And it's by Rebecca Solnit, who's the woman that wrote Wanderlust and A Field Guide to Getting Lost. So those were both, I think they were both bestsellers, but she's also written some pretty important historical books. Like, she has a book that was out about Edward Muybridge and photographic processes, right? And the very opening essay is about how she went to this dinner party and she's getting introduced around and she gets introduced to this gentleman. And her friend starts to say, you know, this is Rebecca Solnit, and she wrote the book that just came out on Muybridge. And the guy is like, oh, that's interesting. There's this really important book on Muybridge, and he proceeds to spell it all out. And the two other women, they're standing there listening to him, and her friend goes, yeah, that's her. She wrote that book. And he proceeds to keep talking about this amazing book and how significant. Huh. Her friend is like, yeah. And it takes them like half an hour until somebody actually like pulls the book off the coffee table or something and shows him the cover. And then for him to realize like, oh, that's her.
Wow.
And that's the book. And yeah. So
that's ridiculous.
That's the essay that sets the tone. And then, however, a lot of the essays in the book get very deep into the status of women and girls in the world. And there were points when I was reading these essays that I just broke down because now I'm talking politics again, aren't I? Really just like shakes me to my core sometimes to think about the fact that for women, we have come so far, but then I look ahead, it's like we still have so far to go. And I was thinking about this, and I hope I didn't internalize it too much, but my mom and actually some of my colleagues were sitting around talking about how great college is and how college was, you know, this great place of exploration, and it opened all these doors for a lot of women to become professionals. And that old like theme song from Mattel Barbie commercials from when we were kids was going through my head, and it was like, we girls can do anything, right, Barbie? But it's not true, because my mom and her generation would be like, we're limited. What can we go out in the workforce and do? And here's what was mainly open to them: nurse, secretary, teacher, or housewife, right? But I mean, if you're going out into the working world, when I look around at myself, my generation, and my peers, it's astounding to me how many women I know who are nurses, teachers, or like some kind of executive assistant, whatever title, or they're staying at home. And it's frustrating to me because this isn't the position I want. I'm really ambitious. And you know this. This is why I'm working on like my fourth degree.
Right.
I'm getting a freaking doctorate because I don't want to stay a teacher. But I also feel in a lot of ways limited or like I became a teacher even though I never intended to, because that's a safe place for women. Like, education big time is a safe spot.
Mm-hmm.
So that all, sorry, all of that was on my mind when I read Rebecca Solnit's collection of essays. I was like, you know.
So it was a relaxing read.
Yeah, if you like to turn your own hair white.
Yeah.
Lots of dubious frustrations. But I also happen to be a person that embraces change. And in our college district, we're going through a lot of changes. And I have colleagues that don't want to go along with it. And then some of us are like, no, but we got to do everything that we possibly can for students. And I'm starting to get a little more hopeful. Because I think in the next 5 or maybe 10 years, at least our colleges, I don't know about universities, but we will be doing more for people, especially like people with less. Like, we're finally looking at what student needs are outside of campus, like food security and housing insecurity. And
oh, nice.
Getting a bus pass if that's your only way. So if we shut down light rail, I'm not, or cut it off, or don't continue to expand and support it. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, we need public transportation infrastructure like that. That's always been one of the biggest things that's lacking for a top 5 city population wise.
And we need it for so many aspects of economic growth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anywho, so what other fun are you doing with the end of your summer?
I'm going to go down to, I think I mentioned, I'm going to go down to Tucson over the weekend.
For a show?
By myself. Yeah. I'm going to, it's Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
So that's nice. 3-day weekend.
So you want to be on the road on Friday?
No, I'm going down. I'm leaving Saturday.
Okay, smart.
I'm leaving Saturday and going to stay just the one night and go. I know for sure I'm going to get a ticket for Hoco Fest on Sunday.
What's Hoco Fest?
Hotel Congress.
Oh.
Yeah, they do the annual thing. And like all the music, all the people that I want to see are on Sunday, I think. Mm-hmm. So I may just get the ticket then and try to use Saturday, I don't know, just to relax, maybe try to get some writing done.
Are you staying at Congress?
No. I forget the name of the place, but it looks kind of cool. It's like this little art hotel kind of thing.
Neat.
All the little, it's like these bungalows or something. And they say that all the rooms are filled with art by local artists, and
really,
yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't done something like that for a while, so it should be fun. Wow. And I don't know. I was gonna check the lineup for Saturday again and see if there's anything I was really interested in. Otherwise, I might just kind of wander around downtown Tucson.
Yeah, take it easy. Tucson's a great place for that.
Yeah, I like Tucson a lot, so I'm looking forward to it. And that's about it, really. I mean, after that, I don't know. Got a lot of work to do, too. Got a couple of books coming out later in the year and bunch of stuff to record. So, and I know there's a lot of stuff coming for the fall.
Every year I get this email notification, and I've only actually used it once, but in September, the Smithsonian has a day where they're like free museums. So all you have to do is click on the link and sign up for whatever museum it is that you want to visit, and then you get a pass. And one of them on the list was the Tucson Museum of Contemporary Art. You just made me think of that.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a whole long list. You know, I think Arizona Science Center and maybe the Children's Museum. One of my friends is now working at Wonderspace.
Have you been to that yet?
I haven't been to that yet, but it looks neat.
It does, yeah.
So I'm going to go check that out soon. And we were going to go poke around Flagstaff this weekend.
Yeah.
And Summit Humphreys Peak.
I was thinking, I was looking at Flagstaff first, but their rates were more expensive this weekend than Tucson's were. So.
Yeah, Flag is always a little high.
Well, I mean, it's Labor Day weekend, and it's going to be cooler up there.
Everyone will be up there. So we were going to camp, but I'm like, no way. If we camp, it's going to be one tent next to another. It's going to be like Coachella. I don't want that. So let's not do that.
Yeah.
So we're just hiking. But yeah, good times. They have some good venues in Flag, too.
Yeah, I think that was the first. Was it, they have an Orpheum up there, right?
Yeah.
That's where I saw Nico Case the first time.
Aw, that's
a great, was a good show.
Great spot. Great performer.
Well, cool. I think we can leave it there then.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right.
Thank
you. See you later, fuckers.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Yeah. This has been a Hoon Waddle production. If you enjoyed this podcast, why not check out one of our other fine podcasts available from hootandwaddle.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or any number of podcast apps. If you'd like to support Hoot and Waddle and get access to an exclusive member-only podcast, receive discounts on merch, and more, go to patreon.com/hootandwaddle.